Well, it was a great opening weekend of baseball. Season's underway. We've heaps to talk about there. The NBA playoffs are just around the corner. Some teams are on the charge and some teams are falling off. There's tons to talk about on Third and Five. Welcome in to Third and Five. Simon Hampton here, James Thwaites, Dave Rice on Zoom as well from various parts of the borough of Brooklyn, New York. Gents, welcome in. Welcome in. Recording this on a Monday night. Good weekend, lads.
Great weekend. Actually, a really good weekend of sport.
You went to a Nets game? Twice. To the Hawks? Nets Hawks?
I went to a Nets game on Friday, yeah, against the Hawks. Trae Young was held, I think, to like 2 points until like the fourth quarter. So it'll be interesting to see what the Hawks and Trae Young do in the offseason. There's lots of rumors swirling that he's going to ask for a trade request. So we shall see. But it was fun. It was good to be back at Barclays. They always do a good job with Friday night games. And, you know, obviously in the home stretch now with basketball.
Dave, different weekend for you at the theme park.
Different weekend for Dave.
I was thinking, that I was keeping an eye on tickets today. Just Barclays have Bruce Springsteen today. I think he was at the Garden on Saturday.
Was that tonight?
He's at Barclays tonight, but... Yeah, for someone like that, they don't go down, do they?
No.
It's like two grand for a GA ticket.
You know, it's funny because you're like, I remember when those tickets first went on sale and they were that sort of event, they're like, they go on sale like a year in advance. And I remember being like, April 2023, that's miles away. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, it's on. There it is. But
they're the sort of band, or like, you know, he's the sort of guy with the longevity. If you want to scalp and make some coin, you can buy them a year ago knowing that you'll be able to make a pretty good profit there.
It's probably one of the few downsides to the US, because like I remember like Elton John playing in Wellington years and years ago, and they couldn't sell enough tickets for Elton John at Westpac, as it was called back in the day, and they ended up doing 2-for-1 tickets. That was great. Like, you obviously don't have that problem in New York with the population here.
And then Elton goes back and calls it a farewell tour, a 4-year farewell tour, and it doesn't have the same problem. Of course, the old farewell tour always sells out.
But Dave, you're in Atlantic City, right?
Yeah, I had a bit of a New Jersey excursion, Six Flags during the day, and then Atlantic City did pretty well on the punting. So that was on the casinos.
Obviously not that great, because you're still you've returned to do the pod on a Monday after a weekend at Atlantic City.
Still on 3rd and 5.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, if I put $100,000 down, then, because I nearly tripled my money. If I was willing to spend $100,000, then I would have probably not been here today. But no, what was actually quite interesting was the mate I was with, he was playing on the craps table, which he was actually teaching me. I've never played craps previously. And I sort of look over and they had the Formula One. So it would have been about 1 a.m., I think, was the start. But it was, you know, the big screen. It was great. That's casinos. They want to keep you there.
Formula One, that was the best race I've ever watched live. To be fair, I've only watched two races live.
I was going to say, I don't think you've got a very big sample size. And I'm pretty sure those first two were awful as well. Like, really. Well, the first one definitely was.
Yeah, first one was. So Melbourne was my second. What a cracking race, though. Lots of drama. We actually had a friend who was in the crowd, and I was about two people away from that shrapnel that bounced into the crowd at Albert Park in Melbourne. So, but... cracking race, lots of drama. I love it.
Yeah, that was awesome. I do like the way that it was a 1 a.m. race, and it sounds like all of us were still up at various various points and various places. So, yeah, that was a fun race. That was a really fun race, and one of those races. I mean, it's funny, you would usually say that a race that finishes effectively under a safety car is not one of the greatest races of all time, but it was up there. For sure, yeah. Just like that.
Totally.
Crazy in Formula One, how good Red Bull is and how good Max Verstappen is.
Yeah, he was like 11 seconds ahead at one point. Like, just he's racing on his own. So it's just kind of ridiculous. But speaking of epic matchups and exceptional numbers and things like that, did you guys see the numbers that came out today for the finals matchup of the Women's March Madness? This is college basketball in the US, up 103% on last year's numbers, most all time. More people watching than any NBA game this season and last season. So feels like women's basketball in the US is really hitting its strides. You know, there's some great storylines going on. So Caitlin Cook obviously has been tearing up in the in March Madness. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see once these players hit the WNBA.
It was really good to see. I mean, you're right, and it's not just the women's March Madness. The WNBA is, of course, goes from strength to strength every year. I know that I think there's a new TV rights deal coming up that will be significantly higher than the long-term one that they're on now, which sort of pays them the rate they might have expected, you know, I don't know the exact number, but, you know, 7 or 8 years ago. So they'll expect a lot more money coming into that league soon. So that's all good. And the NBA is where we're going to start things today, because I was looking at the standings, and we talked last week about the Dallas Mavericks and how they're going, which is not well. Continuing to lose at the moment, they're down. Where are they? 37-42, three losses
keep,
in a row.
Keep scrolling.
Yeah, keep scrolling. It's quite far.
There's actually been talks today, I think, or murmurs that they might put Luka and Kyrie on ice for that's it for the summer. Which is effectively making sure that they do get that top 10 protected pick.
Yeah, well, Davey made a point. It's like, are they a lottery team now? It's crazy.
Yeah, and hey, those that listened to our pod last week, I'm pretty sure my not so hot take anymore was that was going to happen, and that's what they should do. So now we're suddenly there.
But we covered them off pretty well last week, so we won't get too stuck into the Mavericks this week. But as they've been on the slide, there are teams coming up on the rise. One of them is the Lakers, who have won three in a row. They're up to seventh now, half a game back of the Warriors. All of a sudden, the Lakers, half a game back of the Warriors and the Clippers, actually. So all of a sudden, with a handful of games left, the Lakers are actually in a position here where they could even avoid the play-in tournament if things go their way over the last week. Has something changed with this team? Like, what do you say? Or is this just one of those little runs of form that they've gone on at various points of the season, but realistically they're not a great team still? What do you reckon?
I think there's a couple of things. I think before I stick into the Lakers or go into them, I reckon the position you want in the West, if you're not, obviously you can't just say I want to get fourth or whatever, like sixth position on that table is the place to get. And now maybe I'm under valuing how good the Kings have played.
But you definitely are.
Yeah, but I just feel that sixth position versus seventh for sure. Like if you're the Lakers and you can squeak in and get in sixth as opposed to the play-in, I think that's going to make it. I think that gives you the Kings, and then probably thereafter you're looking at maybe the Grizzlies as your road to the Western Finals. I just think that's not as daunting as if you had to play the Suns and obviously the Nuggets as well. They're pretty obvious there. Just because my thing with the Kings, I've obviously played really well, and they could do a deep run. It's just they're a team that haven't made the playoffs for 20 years. Now, a lot of these guys would have been in, you know, toddlers when that's how long ago it was. But, you know, they haven't got that experience. So, and if you're going up against LeBron, who's coming back, you know, is getting full fit, and Davis in hot form, you know, I wouldn't be confident in saying the Kings are going to beat the Lakers.
I would definitely say the Kings will beat the Lakers. I think that's probably one of the worst takes we've ever had, Dave.
No, but, I think if you're a Laker, you would be like, you'd be optimistic. You'd, you know, the Lakers will think they can win it. I'm not saying that, like, I'm definitely picking the Lakers to beat them. I probably would sway on the Kings just for that they've been better for more season. I'm just saying it from the perspective of the Lakers. If they can get in there, they'll feel pretty good about things.
Yeah, I completely disagree with that one, because, like, looking at this and kind of going back to your original point, Simon, about the Lakers, like, they are hitting their form right now at the moment. You know, Anthony Davis has been great. Anthony Davis was the Western Conference Player of the Week last week. He's been super dominant. Lately, LeBron's obviously coming back from injury. Austin Reeves and a few others are really stepping up. So it's definitely a well-rounded Lakers team who could, you know, do a bit of damage in the playoffs and maybe get to a second round before an exit. They do obviously have finals experience with, you know, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. The thing when I'm just looking in the West, though, is the West to me, like, you definitely want to avoid the first two teams with everything you can, because Memphis and Denver both have exceptional records at home, and they're obviously going to have home court advantage. You know, Denver 33-7 and Memphis 34-6. So that scares the hell out of me when you've got home court advantage going into a playoffs. I think the Kings, like, the one thing that they've had, Sabonis and Fox have been absolutely exceptional. And they've been consistent at both home and away, which is something a lot of teams that you look around the league haven't been able to do. You know, so if they're going up against a sixth seed like Golden State, they're definitely going to be able to get the job done. Lakers, I think they'd get the job done as well.
The thing is,
the kind of
I would put more money on a Western Conference top seed going out than an Eastern Conference. I think the Nuggets are very good, and they've had a fantastic season. But even they've looked a little bit beatable over the last couple of weeks. They've had some good results still, but a couple of bad losses for them as well over the last few weeks. I'm intrigued to see how the Grizzlies go in the playoffs, because they kind of had their first year last year, and they've, to me, really impressed with the way they've just absorbed the whole drama around Ja Morant, the loss of Steven Adams, a really key member of their team, and often sort of, you know, underrated member of their team. He's been out for some time, so I'm really impressed with how the Grizzlies have just continued on. So in some ways, I kind of like the Grizzlies a little bit more than the Nuggets at the moment.
Yeah, and this is where it gets hard towards the end of the season. Like, Jokic has had 2-3 games out with illness out of their last 10, so it probably doesn't help a lot in, you know, kind of their standings. Also, like, as the number one seed, they're currently 3 games ahead. So really, they only have to win 1 or 2 out of their last, you know, 4 to really lock away that seed. So it'll be interesting to see if they start resting players, which in the NBA is a blessing and a curse. Like, you know, we've seen teams that rest their players get first round exits when they're a top seed. So kind of the most interesting two, I think, for me are probably Golden State and Phoenix, probably for similar reasons. Phoenix have just got KD back. KD and Booker have just been absolutely insane on the court together. Their plus-minus together is huge. Yeah, absolutely. And then Golden State, Andrew Wiggins is playing his first game back tonight, I think, in about 20-odd games. So huge for Wiggins to come back. He's not coming back from injury. He had a family personal matter. His dad was diagnosed with a disease, a pretty serious disease. So he's been sitting out. So they suddenly get him back, and then they've got a full-strength, healthy squad going into the playoffs. So, you know, it'll be pretty interesting who they're up against and if they can squeeze up into that, you know, fifth spot, and maybe we'll have probably what would be one of the best matchups of the first round, which would be Golden State against Phoenix.
This is what I mean. These teams that are a bit further down are the ones surging. The interesting thing with the Warriors is if they're sixth, then they're not going to have home court advantage. And you look at their home and away record this year, 32-8 at home, 9-30 on the road this year. So for that team, I mean, you know, when it comes down to, you know, a 7-game series and the Warriors at full strength, I'm kind of going to disregard that away record, but that is some serious home and road splits there.
Yeah, it definitely is. And look, like, when you kind of jump down to that play-in spot, Minnesota should not be scaring anyone. Like, I'm not too sure if either of you saw their game against the Portland Trailblazers. Portland have shut down Dame. The Timberwolves were about 23-point favorites or 22-point favorites and ended up losing to Portland. So they're definitely going to get one and done in that play-in spot. You know, New Orleans is probably the only one that's super terrifying in the playoff spot outside of the Lakers, just with Zion Williamson. If he comes back or doesn't, he's scheduled to be reevaluated just as the playoffs start. So that'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I like your take there, Simon. We're around the West, the top seeds. You could certainly see a world where, you know, if we're talking about the 4 home seeds, you know, I could see a couple get tripped up. And as it stands, it's most likely going to be either the Clippers, Warriors, or Lakers are going to make up the 5, 6, 7, likely. We don't know the order yet. So it's really seen 2 of those 3 teams winning. And as I sort of mentioned, I think the Kings is probably, I don't know if you'd want to play the Suns or the Kings. I'd say you want to play the Kings more than the Suns if you were kind of in that, if you could have a choice because of KD and Booker factor. And, you know, I think that's fair. And I actually think, like, the Grizzlies as well could be vulnerable just because of the lack of Adams, and Jar hasn't refound his form yet. So I like your take there hugely, that compared to the East, where I would expect the top three teams in the East to pretty comfortably get through that first round, the West, I think, could be a lot closer.
One final point and on look, the NBA. Look, are the Utah Jazz really regretting that fast start to the season? They're 36-42 now. They were surprisingly good for about the first couple of months. And that start is the sort of thing that everyone will forget about. But now they've just about played themselves out of a good chance at a top pick in this loaded next draft. So that's a bit of a shame for them. But it was fun.
It is a shame. Yeah, absolutely. It is a shame for them because, like, who doesn't want a ticket in the Web and Yana sweepstakes? Like, that's absolutely exceptional. But not even that. Like, top two pick, top three pick. The top three picks in next year's draft, I guess the end of this season's draft, are great. So Dallas is definitely in full-blown tank mode now. They'd be absolutely ridiculous not to play Kyrie, to not sit Kyrie and Luka. They're obviously going to fire their coach. And then suddenly they're looking at a 14% chance to get the number one pick, which, can you imagine Luka and Webinyana together? That would just be ridiculous.
No, but the lottery's not an even. It's like a tiered ranking, isn't it?
It is a tiered ranking. There's a fantastic website which we'll link on our socials, and it's called Tankathon, and it gives you the current odds of everyone to get, like, their first round picks and stuff based on where they fall. So you know, it's pretty interesting. Like, that lottery system in the NBA is very wild compared, and it's not as straightforward as the NFL. But I guess out of you two, who's going through in the play-in spot? Like, you, Dave, you're obviously correct when you say, like, Clippers, Golden State, or Lakers are obviously probably sitting in that seven spot. So you can assume that one of them is a wild card. But who out of the other three, so New Orleans, Minnesota, and OKC, who's going through out of those ones?
Dave, sorry, I thought you were going.
You go. I'm thinking.
I would say, as things stand, I think the Lakers are getting one of them. I mean, the other three, you can sort of throw a blanket over them for different reasons. I would like it to be the Thunder, honestly.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it will be, and I kind of just, I guess, just lean towards the Pelicans because they have had a better record for much of the year. But I think the Lakers or the Warriors or Clippers, if they fall back into that seventh seed, are going to come out of that in the first round. Yep. But yes, yeah, probably head says Pelicans, heart says Thunder.
I think it's flip a coin. The Pelicans have certainly had a better record in the last, like, few weeks. They've sort of hit their stride more so than the Timberwolves and Thunder. So that's where you'd probably, and even take away the Zion factor. They're obviously doing it right now without Zion, and Ingram's playing quite well. So, I mean, the Pelicans have the benefit of, they'd have a second chance, right? Let's assume they lose to the seventh seed.
They
then get to play the winner, and they'll be the home team then.
Yeah, yeah.
How crazy is it that we're sitting here now, we can remember that huge Rudy Gobert trade at the beginning of the season, basically saying that the Timberwolves are going to get bumped out of the play-in spot, you know, when they've got Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, Rudy Gay. It's wild.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Rudy Gobert.
Lots to look forward to. The play-in tournament will be a bit of fun this year. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to it. All right, let's talk NFL. NFL draft, plenty of chatter every week about the NFL draft now as we head up to this hotly anticipated NFL draft. I think it's going to be a memorable one. We don't, you know, we've talked about it on this podcast about how much anticipated it is. And so some news to hand of late, a couple of little tidbits that I think are interesting. Thwaites raised the fact that the Tennessee Titans may be in play for a quarterback, which is interesting because they're not going to have the top two picks. But the Cardinals sit currently third in the draft, and they obviously have their franchise quarterback locked up so that the Titans could be in play there. So let's start with that, and then we can talk about Jalen Carter next. But the Titans in play for a quarterback. What do you make of this?
I think this is huge. For me, this has a lot of implications in the draft. You know, the draft every year, especially in the NFL, there's a lot of games that go on. So this may just be all talk. You know, somebody may have leaked this, you know, from the Cardinals just to try to get some more trade interest at that number three spot. Because obviously, like you said, Zy, the Cardinals aren't going to take a quarterback. But Titans moving up, that is huge drama because basically that means they go one ahead of the Colts. So you got to assume that probably 1, 2, 3 goes a quarterback, whether the Colts still go a quarterback in that number four spot. But also, probably the asking price of that number three spot from the Cardinals is going to be huge because if they are going to make that trade with the Titans, it means they drop down into the 11th spot and suddenly they miss out on their number one overall defensive player because teams like the Falcons, the Bears, the Lions, and Seattle will sit up in front of them. So it's going to be pretty wild to see that. I think there's been a lot of rumors that kind of ignoring the Panthers and the Texans who obviously have the number one and two spots locked up. Colts, Seahawks, Raiders, and obviously the Titans are all kind of on the lookout for quarterbacks that are in that top bunch. So it'll be interesting to see who blinks first with this. And you got to assume that, you know, the Cardinals aren't going to make a trade. They're not going to be in that number three spot by draft day.
There's no point. Yeah, right?
Did you say that you don't think the Cardinals will be three?
No.
Why would they?
I agree with your initial thing where I don't think they'll go back to 11. And Will Anderson, you've got like a sort of a game changing player. Mm. So yeah, as you say, they're going to have to get so much to basically give up that sort of like match winner from the defensive side that don't come around every year. You know, I'm thinking of like a Micah Parsons, you know, yeah. JJ Watt type player, like with, you know, they can really make an impact. So it'd be crazy to kind of give that up unless what you're getting is huge. So I think you said on our chat, you know, maybe them swapping with the Colts is more likely because they're not going for the same thing. They can still get there. So I think that's a great chat.
And grabbing my tinfoil hat. And like I said at the beginning, there's a lot of games that happen. I reckon most likely what we're going to see is the Cardinals trade back to fourth, the Colts go up to third, the Cardinals still get to take the first defensive player off the board. They just pick up another first round pick for next year or you know, maybe a couple second round picks.
I think spot on. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think also the fact that they're leaking that's obviously to increase the price that the Colts have to give to get it. Mm-hmm. So it is very much and that's what we've talked about a lot, how this is such a fascinating draft because there is so much going on and yeah, there's so many mind games and, you know, that's what made it exciting already. So it's great.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, if you're the Cardinals, you're thinking like if they can drum up a bit of interest here and get the Colts to pay a slightly higher price, they're in this fantastic position where they can get the player they wanted anyway and still get another draft pick or two on top of it, either down the line or next year. So, I suspect that that's probably what's going to happen, and it sounds like the Colts are so keen on a quarterback that they really need to make that move to get up to third. So I suspect that will happen at some point. But
and just before you move on, the last time we had quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, I think was not that long ago, 2021, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, then Trey Lance. So that obviously hasn't worked out so far super well for those
that's
teams.
That's what makes it. This is, and we talked about this though with the Lamar Jackson stuff, where that's what like shows you that even you know highly regarded quarterbacks in the draft are no sure thing. And so you know, there's. I'm surprised there's not been more movement on teams trying to go after Lamar Jackson, who, whether you like him or not, is a lot more proven than Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis. So, that does surprise me. But you touched on defensive players there. Will Anderson Jr. being one of the top difference makers. One of the other ones is Jalen Carter, who's slightly more controversial. Some speculation teams aren't interested in him. I read today apparently he's only going to talk to teams that are going to pick 10th or higher this year. So he's basically selling teams he's a top 10 draft pick, but there's chatter that he may well fall out of the top 10 because teams are pretty unwilling to to risk it on him. What do you guys see as the outcome, I guess, for Jalen Carter going forward in this draft?
This is an interesting one because Dave and I were talking about this in our chat the other week, and kind of Dave was like, hey, like, you know, it's crazy. It'll be interesting to see where Jalen Carter like is you know, taken in the draft because he's falling now. And I was kind of like, surely, like, he's not falling out of the top 10. I was checking some mock drafts. They had him going at 20. And I think to the Seahawks, which would be ridiculous if he did fall to number 20 in the draft. Honestly, I still don't see him falling out of the top 10, in all honesty. The perfect fit for him, for me, would be him going to Detroit. I think he'd be fantastic at the Lions. Obviously, Aiden Hutchinson is there as well. So I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he went number six. But if he doesn't go six, like, you know, I think that's when you potentially look at him falling further down. I just don't know how far the fall will be.
It's pretty crazy from the agent. I presume the agent's pulling the strings here to like just completely shut off from anyone outside the top 10 when we're in this world where teams trade up all the time. So like that's such a ego-driven, short-sighted approach to go, oh, we don't want to speak to, I don't know, who's got the fifth, you know, the Commanders because they got the 15th pick, when it's like they could trade up to get 9th or 10th. And because, you know, end of the day, before the sort of indiscretion or this high-speed crash that he was racing with a mate that, you know, resulted in a couple of people passing away that he was involved in, you know, he was top five pick. He was like, it was him or Will Anderson as your number one and two, you know, interchangeable depending on which team thought. So, like, he's kind of slid a little bit, but, like, clearly in terms of playing ability, he's right up there. So
yeah, and it's one of the things with the agent like talking like that, obviously it's definitely agent talk, but the interesting thing is with these draft picks and their contracts is just the drop off from like number one to 10 is pretty huge. Like if you're the number one overall pick, you're looking at like a 4 or 5 year contract worth $30+ million.
Yeah, it's about you start 30,
yeah. You start going to like, you know, down the order, and then, you know, by the time you're at 10, it's under 20. So, you know, like it's a big difference over 5 years for these guys. So, you know, the agent will be hoping he stays in the top 10 and probably gets picked up by one of those guys. But it's always interesting with those contracts because, you know, a lot of the time they're just fully guaranteed rookie contracts, and that's great. But
Just another storyline that will, you know, that we'll have on that draft night. You know, there are so many, and that's what's going to make what's normally a pretty boring sort of night actually pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. April 27th, I think that is, coming up not too far away, end of the month. Three more weeks or so. So I'm sure these storylines will heat up leading into that, and we should get some more twists and turns to discuss. Now, let's talk baseball. We watched opening weekend over the weekend, obviously. Everyone's overreacting to three games of baseball for their favorite team if they won or lost, but the interesting thing to me was how the new rules have changed the game so far. There were a bunch of new rules brought in. They were, you know, banning the infield shift. They made the bases slightly bigger to encourage stolen bases. They introduced the pitch clock as well to change things a little bit. Here's some stats for you guys. So last year, average time of the game, 3 hours, 9 minutes. This year so far, 2 hours, 38. So the pitch clock is having a difference.
Wow.
Batting lines are better so far this year. I think you can't really read too much into that. I think it's still too early for that. But here's an interesting one. Stolen bases, 2022, 29 from 43 you know, successful stolen bases so far at this stage of the season. This year, 70 stolen bases compared to 29 last year.
Oh, shit.
So we're seeing faster games. We're seeing more action. Players are stealing bases more often. We're seeing more offense, possibly because of fielding shift restrictions. And generally, I think the games are just more enjoyable to watch. So, I mean, is it too early to say these new rules have saved baseball? What do you think?
I don't think so because, you know, obviously you two like baseball far more than I do, but that's always been the problem with baseball, like for me, is just the length. And, you know, it's hard to get into a sport that is so long and takes so long to get going. So the fact that it is that much faster, there's that much more access. I didn't know about that about stolen bases. So that's incredible. Yeah. Like, hopefully Ohtani and Aaron Judge are joining the 40-40 club this year, because that would be cool. Yeah, I mean, like, that's always been the major problem with baseball. The only thing we need to bring in now, which it sounds like the commissioner is going to do, and it's only a matter of when, is the automated strike zones, strike zone umpires. You know, like, obviously we're never going to get rid of having, you know, a human umpire somewhere involved in the game, but, you know, just kind of taking that kind of out of the game, I think, is only going to be a good thing.
The umpires do, you know, Simon's talked about it many times, where they've got such big egos in baseball. Arguably it brings in a little bit of entertainment in terms of just like how ego driven they are. Like, I know that there's some ridiculous like guys that got marched during the, like, I remember the catcher got marched in a spring training game, which was just ridiculous. But do you know the other thing that I think is helping baseball? It was probably targeted marketing on social media over the weekend. Have you guys heard of the Home Run Dugout in near Houston, Texas? It's been basically billed as like the Top Golf for baseball.
Oh, funny because someone obviously doesn't keep an eye on Third and Five social media, because this was shared about a week ago. Oh yeah. Explain it, because this is absolutely incredible. I love this.
I mean the way that it's Top Golf, so you obviously get little your own sort of like little area, and the ball kind of comes from, you know, underneath your feet. It sort of pops up, and then you obviously just smash it into like a simulator, and obviously all around it there's like, it's like sports bar vibe, and I actually think there's a proper field as well, so they must have been able to have like there a is, play around training.
Yeah there's a small field outside, so basically you go with your friends, you rent like basically a booth, you know, you can get alcohol and wings and all that kind of stuff. And you know, play a couple of games on their home run simulator, and you actually get to hit something. Like Dave said, the ball pops out of the middle of the ground, you get to whack it away.
You could probably choose that you're hitting it at Fenway or wherever.
I don't know if they would have the rights. The other thing is what could go wrong? Alcohol and a baseball bat. passing. Yeah. Can you imagine like trying to swing and hit a baseball after, you know, 6 or 12 beers?
Well, I've seen you try to swing and hit a golf club after 6 or 12 beers, and it actually was quite impressive. So,
I guess the point is like that even just that sort of like that social aspect and more casual, because obviously you're going to have your diehard fans. That's fine. It's the people that are probably haven't liked it a lot because of the length of time. Now, you know, if I'm sure if this is successful in Houston or near Houston, I'm sure there's going to be popping up all around America. You know, and it just kind of creates the, you know, you go do that, you have a great time, you actually then flick on the Astros or the Yankees, you know, when you get a chance.
Well, the other thing is with this, and Simon, the times that you're talking about before, if you're thinking about those times, that brings it in line with an NBA game. You know, an NBA game without overtime, you know, it's far shorter than an NFL game. So, you know, like it makes it a lot easier watching when you're kind of comparing those elements. Massively. In fact, you know, it's like we've all been saying, that's kind of the prohibitive thing. You don't want to watch 162 games a year, you know, 3.5 hours or whatever it is. But, you know, when it's smaller and shorter, you know, you can watch it on a Saturday afternoon or evening and absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's nice. And the thing is, you don't lose anything either. You the only thing they're cutting out is dead time. So I think it's great. And we're seeing more action as well within the game. There's less just hitting it straight at fielders.
The one curveball for this, the only person I think is probably losing out is stadium concessions. Because obviously at these stadiums in America, they stop selling beer after, I think, what is it, the sixth or seventh inning? So it'd be pretty interesting to see how that's going to affect stadium concessions. But who cares? These billionaires have enough money, right?
Exactly. They'll probably put the price up to
compensate. Yeah.
How's your $28 Bud Light at Yankee Stadium?
Oh, it's warm. Beautiful.
Well, all right. Thwaites and I are going to go have a beer and pass off to the next segment to Dave. It's the Dave Rush segment, talking the Masters golf tournament.
I can't wait for this. Dave, and just to remind everyone, Dave had some cracker picks for the winner of some of the PGA tours and stuff last year. So all eyes on you, Dave. I'm pretty excited because whatever you pick with this, I'm going to put a lot of money on. You're terrible with boxing picks, but I'll take your golf picks any day.
Hey,
no,
mate, I've won big money on boxing in the past. I passed on a pretty bad, you know, prediction that obviously didn't come to light. But you know, I'm sharing the oil. If I hear oil, I pass it on. You take with it what you will.
Dave Rice, man of the people.
What the big thing with obviously with this whole live debacle last year is, yeah, we don't get to see everyone as in all the household names, best players in the world playing together now. Admittedly, Liv don't make up that many of the players that would be there, but take someone like Cam Smith, you want to see him against the best players. I've got a big soft spot for him. I like to bet on him. So, it's great that we're going to have, you know, this is the start of the majors sort of season. This is the first one. I haven't really actually done a lot of thinking on who I think. I do like Cam Smith. I think the other two, just off the top of my head, would be John Rahm and Rory McIlroy. Maybe
you
Rory
love
McIlroy.
John Rahm as well. Rahm as well.
Why not? Like I just think he's, yeah, I like him over a lot of Americans this year. But, you know, interesting if you guys saw, but Brooks Koepka won the tournament for Liv on the weekend. So that's what's going to be fascinating for me from the Liv point of view is, can any of them actually just be in contention come Sunday? Or is it, you know, this lifestyle that they're playing now, as it kind of, does it become pretty clear and apparent that, you know, they can't take on the McIlroys, the Rahms,
man,
the Scheffler's.
I was going to ask you, what are the big storylines to kind of pay attention to? And that's probably, I don't know if you could top that. That's got to be the biggest, right? Which is, can these guys still compete? Are they still relevant, or are they going to become irrelevant?
I really hope they pair them up intentionally. So like McIlroy with, you know, McIlroy with Dustin Johnson, Tiger Woods with, you know, Brooks Koepka, just really split like the people, because the kind of the spokespeople of the PGA and against the sort of big headline names of the Liv. That's, I'm sure they probably will. I mean, that's kind of, you know, that's going to get the eyeballs on the TV.
Mm-hmm. Can the people that are organizing this, can they do the Liv players the dirty and just kind of give them shitty spots and stuff like that? Or you don't think they've got a horse in that race?
No. So the way that for golf in general, the way they normally do it is you get like on the first 2 days, you have a morning session and an afternoon session, and you do one and the other. Because and a lot of the time it's because, you know, a place that you could be playing is, it might always be really windy in the afternoon. So it'd be unfair that you get hit with the afternoon both days. But obviously weather is volatile and unpredictable, so you could just get screwed. But yeah, if you're in the afternoon, you're going to be the morning the next day. And if you're in the morning on Thursday, you're the afternoon Friday. So no, they can't really do, and they're not going to do that.
Two names, Dave. Two names that will sit side by side in the Golf Hall of Fame. Tiger Woods and Ryan Fox. How do you rate their chances this week?
Friend of the podcast, Ryan Fox.
Friend of the podcast, Ryan Fox.
Friend of the podcast, Ryan Fox. We love Foxy here.
Didn't make the cut on the weekend, did he?
No.
Which gave him more time to get down to Augusta and play a few rounds.
Yeah. I mean, that was a disappointing final tournament for him. But I mean, you've got to, like, to be fair, I mean, he's never played the Masters, so hopefully he's getting some good practice rounds in to familiarize himself with the course. But I mean, it's like, is he a good chance to make the cut at least?
Well, that's got to be his first. That's going to be the first sort of target, right? Like, I think it's going to be. I hope that he can sneak in, but I don't think it's, you know, that's going to be like, if you're going to put a bet on, I'd say that would be pretty even odds, I would think. You know, it's mainly as well because it's his first ever time there, you know, like everyone else in the tournament, you know, majority have probably played there, you know, dozens and dozens of times. And he's probably had a couple of practice rounds. I think I heard him on a podcast a few weeks ago. And he said that, yeah, he, in between tournaments a few weeks ago, he flew in and played a couple of rounds. First round, he said it was one of the worst rounds he's ever played, but he didn't care because it was like the aura of the place, and he was just enjoying it.
Good to get that out of the way.
So exactly, and that's the point. As you go do that, but he's, you know, still only played it a couple of times,
yeah.
So he doesn't know all the tricks compared to these other guys.
What about Tiger?
Top five favorites at the moment, as we sit here on Monday: Scotty Scheffler 6-1, Rory McIlroy 8-1, John Rahm. I can't do the name ringing as good as you can, Dave. But John Rahm, $10. Jordan Spieth 17, and then Patrick Cantlay, $19.
Not a fan.
Ryan Fox actually a few weeks ago was sitting at $126. So I chucked a cheeky bonus bet on him. He's now at $101. So there's a lot slowly shrinking for old Foxy.
We can't not talk about Tiger. Like, what's the expectation for him?
I'm thinking probably similar to last year, where I could see him having a good round in the first 2 days, making the cut, but fading.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened last year. I'm pretty sure he had a really good, might have been the second day, got into the cut, maybe by a shot or two, but then he had a pretty awful third round. So yeah, I don't see Tiger Woods in the current. Like, I maybe could win again in a few years. I just don't think he's had enough golf under his belt to be competing with the guys that basically played straight off at the top there.
Yeah, it'll be box office though. Hopefully he's if he gets into the weekend and he's there or thereabouts, that'd be a lot of fun. And be a fun.
Yeah, you'd love for him to be in contention, because there's, end of the day, every single player, they're scared of him.
Yeah, for you know, sure. Yeah,
there's no two ways about it. If they've got him, if he's hunting them down, like, they'll. That's pretty uncharted territories for a lot of the younger guys. It's actually quite good to see Jordan Spieth kind of recapture. He's a sort of guy that came out lights out with like a amazing start to his career, and I think he won two, maybe three slams or majors, you know, at a pretty young age. But he's kind of dropped off a bit, and he's kind of starting to recapture that. So he's probably another one that's, you know, slightly more generous odds. That could be worth a little cheeky there.
Well, you noted Rory McIlroy before, and he's sort of one that's like always sort of been there or thereabouts, but career hasn't really taken off the way it sort of promised all those years ago. So it'd be cool to see him sort of charge back up and win a title here.
Well, he's probably the form guy, like with Scheffler, he's the form golfer in the last 12 months, without a doubt. But he's still got this. For him, it'll feel like winning a major for the first time again. That's how long it's been. I think it's 8 or 9 years. Since, you know, he won three or four really quickly, I think it was four, you know, pretty shortly after being pro, and then has not won another. He hasn't won the Masters. In fact, I think the Masters would be the completion of his the career slam, or whatever they call it in golf.
Second last year, hasn't won since a major since 2014. So it is, has been a while for McIlroy. All right, Dave and I are going to have a beer and pass this next topic off to Thwaites, who's going to take charge. NHL playoffs, Thwaites, are just around the corner. 2 weeks to go, a little under 2 weeks to go. We're all watching the Rangers, losing our mind at how expensive the tickets are for going to a Rangers playoff game. But apart from that, I don't have a lot to offer. But it's this time when I start to keep an eye on the hockey and get into a few of the playoff games, because the atmosphere is always great. So who are you liking this year in the NHL?
Yeah, well, it's a great intro and segue into the NHL, because last year, I believe, we started off by saying in ice hockey, they play three periods. So getting a bit more technical this year, which is always
so we've got the timing down. Quarters. So now what do they do when they put it in the back of the net? Is that one try, or is that two goals?
How many people are on the ice? And what happens when they score a touchdown? So we're off to a better start this year, which is always a good thing. But yeah, like you said, ice hockey playoffs are, you know, heating up. It's at the same time of year, where it's that beautiful time of year in sports where we hit the NBA and NHL playoffs at the same time. So those first few rounds are always so glorious because it's always something to watch. And this year, kind of, we're in for a bit of a treat as well, because the Rangers are doing really, really bloody good this season. I think the I'm going to go out and say it. I'm liking Colorado from the West. Hey, but hey, I said that last year, and they won the Stanley Cup. So Colorado, though, for me, is definitely one to watch in the West. The overall points, not as high as they definitely could have been, but they've had a lot of star players injured this year. They've had Nathan MacKinnon out for a while. At the moment, they've got Landeskog, who's been out, obviously one of their star players on their deep run last year into the playoffs. So he's coming back. He's now traveling with the team. So suddenly this Colorado team that has had injury problems all year but still has managed to secure this playoff spot, or basically secure it, is going to be fully healthy and firing as they go into the playoffs. I think one of the big things for them is Dallas is going to be a major hurdle in the West. So it'll be interesting to see how seeding falls out. Definitely don't want a Dallas team anywhere near playoffs in any sport. So fingers crossed with that one. But Colorado is my one to watch in the West. When we kind of move over to the East, so you already took it. You know, it's definitely the New York Rangers. I just think their home ice is just so dominant. It's going to come down, though, to see if they go up against the Boston Bruins, who have just basically been unstoppable this year.
12 losses.
Their record is like, just looking at it, is I think they have 10 or 11 more wins than the next best team in the whole league.
Yeah.
Which is the Hurricanes. Is that Carolina or Florida Hurricanes?
That's Carolina.
15 more wins than both the Rangers and Avalanche. Two of the like, I know it's not regular season only, but the Bruins have to be looking very good.
Yeah, and I mean, like, this is the problem. The teams that they've lost against has kind of been like a mix of the bunch. A lot of them have just been teams that they shouldn't have dropped points to. Others are teams like Florida, Tampa, and Carolina that are always kind of good. So they're definitely one to watch. They're the scary one in the East for me. I'm still going to do the New York Rangers, though. So for me, I just absolutely love the atmosphere at MSG. I'm not a big fan of Boston's teams as well. So a little bit of bias coming in. But, you know, when you start to look at, you know, the odds to win the Stanley Cup, you're looking at the Boston Bruins are at $3.60, Avalanche are at $7, and New York Rangers are at $10. So if you're on some smart money, that's where I'd be putting my money. If it came down to the Rangers and the Avalanche, though, it'd be bloody interesting, because Rangers goaltender has been absolutely lights out this year.
Just looking at the way that the playoffs work, as it stands, like, all three New York, I'll call the New Jersey Devils because it's proximity to New York City, are all in the playoff picture as it stands. And
yeah,
I think they've got the Rangers to play the New Jersey Devils and then potentially take the Islanders on if the Islanders can beat the Hurricanes. So that's just going to be, you know, for the Rangers, it could be first round against the local team, second round against the local team. So that is not good for prices of MSG tickets in the playoffs.
Are we doing a 3rd and 5 field trip to MSG?
Yeah,
I think so.
For the playoffs.
Yeah,
I think we kind of have to. But like, can you imagine the absolute meltdown that would be if there was a Devils versus Rangers first round playoff matchup? That'd be incredible.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's looking very likely, I think.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And you know, like, this is the interesting thing, I think, as well. The Devils have been great. The Islanders, you know, you're always there or thereabouts. Rangers are great, so it's going to be a cracker playoff series for sure.
Well, we'll talk to some people and see what we can do. Swindle some tickets. Smuggle Thwaites in.
Maybe we could do like a Pulp Sport. You know how Pulp Sport used to do like sneak a bear in? Maybe we just sneak a Thwaites in or sneak.
I don't know if you two could carry me, in all honesty, but we can try. We just dress up like the creepy man in a suit. We just each be on each other's shoulders with this giant trench coat.
I do want to go. I mean, it's cool. And to be fair, like the Rangers are really one of New York's teams at the moment. I mean, like, yeah, I see a lot of Rangers hats, a lot of Rangers jerseys around town. City loves
a lot in Brooklyn, eh? A lot in Brooklyn. I see it. It's pretty prominent.
Need to get my hands on one. I like the hockey jerseys. Any hockey memorabilia in your house? Merch?
Absolutely. Anyway, I got a Cale Makar signed puck from the Stanley Cup Finals last year. Some back. And obviously got a... here we are. And then obviously got my Nathan MacKinnon top.
Well, Thwaites has given us a tour of his bedroom, but it doesn't work very well on a podcast.
Connor McDavid, he's like one of the best players, right? He's like one of the guys I know, one of the stars of the league.
Who, sorry?
Connor McDavid.
Yeah. Connor McDavid is, yeah.
And he plays is he the Oilers? Like, is he going to be in the playoffs? Because Ovechkin, or however you say the Washington guy, he's kind of like I'm trying to think of like a Shohei Ohtani or Mike Trout, who doesn't seem to play in the playoffs that often because he plays for a shit team, but he's the best player. So with McDavid,
I will say Ovechkin won a Stanley Cup with the Washington Capitals about 5 years ago.
They've just been average lately.
They've had a bit of problems. Ovechkin's obviously, he's got his sights on the all-time goal scoring record in the NHL. But yeah, Connor McDavid's at the Oilers, so he's obviously been absolute lights out. No one can ever be compared to Wayne Gretzky, but he's probably as close as we're going to get.
Yeah, so he looks like at the moment they're in there, so they'll be playing the Kings as it stands. I think that's the seed.
Always the interesting one is looking at viewership numbers for the Canadian teams when the NHL playoffs come, because in Canada, even when like other Canadian teams get knocked out, they all start watching whoever the remaining surviving one is. Obviously, the Toronto Maple Leafs are pretty cursed when it comes to ice hockey playoffs and Stanley Cups, but that'll be a one to watch. If you're looking for an underdog to support in the playoffs, probably the Maple Leafs.
They had a pretty deep run last year, right? That was kind of the underdog.
It was, but they're pretty cursed.
Yeah.
Plenty of playoffs coming up, NBA, NHL. Good stuff. Lots of sport around. Just the way we like it. All right, gents, enjoy the Masters this weekend. Enjoy the NBA. Enjoy whatever you're doing. And we will talk...
Enjoy everything.
Enjoy life. We'll talk next week at some point. Have a good one. Have a good one. Have a good one.